I'm speaking with Vaidya Mandar Pedikar from Pune. He's an Ayurvedic practitioner who's visiting Berkeley. He's agreed to talk to us about traditional Ayurvedic means of keeping the oral cavity healthy, the teeth healthy, and perhaps even treating dental problems through Ayurveda. Welcome to Naging Now.
Thank you, Jayashree. Thank you for including Ayurvedic perspective about oral health.
Tell me some of the things that Ayurveda recommends for maintaining oral hygiene.
First of all, Ayurveda doesn't start about cleaning oral cavity to maintain oral health. Interesting part is Ayurveda believes that if a person has had a clear motion that morning, that will add to the chances of having better oral health.
So wait a minute. So you're saying that Ayurveda doesn't actually talk about cleaning the teeth or cleaning the oral cavity, but rather relies on having a really good bowel movement to maintain oral health. Well, this is very interesting.
Let me put it more precisely. Ayurveda doesn't say no to cleaning the teeth or gums, but Ayurveda says that if a person has a clear bowel and cleans the teeth compared to another person who didn't have clear bowel and cleans the teeth, so the first person will have better oral health.
Can you tell me why?
Because Ayurveda believes in ama, and ama is sort of toxin which is an outcome of indigestion.
Ama is like an accumulation of toxic waste, you might say, in the digestive tract. Yeah. So when you have a really decent, complete evacuation, then most of that ama, that toxic accumulation, leaves the body. And that would help maintain oral health.
Like we say, well begun is half done.
So are there specific things that Ayurveda recommends in regards to oral hygiene?
Yes, of course, there will be another big surprise to the Western community. Most of the toothpastes available today are sweet in taste. Maybe there is some marketing technique behind it.
Not maybe. There is. We have the same toothpastes in India.
Unfortunately, Indians are now following Western lifestyle. But what Ayurveda says about it is pretty clear. Ayurveda says that three tests should be used for maintaining oral health. And these tests are pungent, bitter, and astringent.
This is an interesting concept in Ayurveda which may not be familiar to our audience. Ayurveda really goes into the sensory experience of everything. And the idea, as far as I understand, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that the sensory experience creates a neurohormonal immunological response. When you speak about the different tastes, it's actually the taste that will produce a response that would keep your mouth healthy.
I appreciate the words in which you put it. The mouth is prone to be sticky.
It has mucus in it.
Doesn't matter, we call it kapha or mucus, but it is sticky for sure. Because Ayurveda is a highly logical science, Ayurveda prefers only those tastes which are opposite stickiness, which contain no sticky element in it.
To balance out the stickiness.
If, for example, we want to clear a table, how will we clear it? Whether we will add sugar water on it or we will use something which will dry it up.
So you're saying that if you put sweet tasting toothpaste in your mouth, then that is actually adding to the body's response to make the mouth more sticky.
Exactly. In fact, we are inviting diseases by using the sweet thing for maintaining oral health.
Okay, let's throw out our toothpaste, and what are we going to use instead?
Any herb which contains either or more of these three tests. The simplest I would like to quote is neem, because neem is known worldwide now. But there are a few more, like Trifala, a very famous Ayurvedic medicine. And for that matter, even turmeric powder, curcuma, can be used because it has the bitter taste in it.
Oh, fantastic. Interesting.
Yes, the beauty of Ayurvedic philosophy lies that it doesn't stress on use of the same herb, material herb. It goes after the attributes of the herb. So if some other herb, for example, a locally available herb here in US, even if it is bitter in taste or astringent in taste, Ayurveda will say, okay, go ahead and use it for oral health.
Oh, fantastic. So then we're getting into local and sustainable, and we don't have to import things from other places or grow things that aren't supposed to be grown here. Or that don't naturally grow here. That's beautiful.
That is the good part of it. And the bad part is, even if a person comes in the market and says that this is an Ayurvedic paste, sweet in taste, and use it for oral health, that will be...
That would be great marketing.
Yeah, great marketing in good words.
So the thing is that nobody really wants to put something bitter in their mouth first thing in the morning or for last thing at night.
Yeah, I agree. It's true. But if one doesn't want to put bitter things in the morning, one or the other day one has to put bitter medicines.
Oh, but we sugar up the medicines.
That's the problem with the medicine nowadays. The question is whether we prefer health or we prefer our personal likes and dislikes. Ayurveda has clear concepts that if we want to prefer health, even if there are some things which we don't like,
they may be temporarily uncomfortable.
There are no shortcuts. And when Ayurveda says bitter, it is not necessarily very bitter like karela.
Bitter gourd.
Yeah, or something like that. But it should contain bitter taste, which may be less expressive or clearly manifested. But for sure, it shouldn't contain sweet taste.
Let's take turmeric. That's pretty readily available everywhere. Or even triphala is getting more commonly available everywhere. How would you actually use it?
Because Ayurveda is an age-old science, it has a long history of thousands of years. In the past, what they used to do is, they used to pick small sticks from the plant containing either of these three tests, then crush the tips of the sticks, sort of toothbrush, but freshly prepared toothbrush, and they used to use it.
My mother, when we went to India as a child, they would buy these twigs of neem and they would chew on the ends of it and they would just keep chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. And is that what you're referring to?
Yes, but I'll try to relate it to modern lifestyle. So chewing of the tip of the neem twig is not only way to do it. What is important is either of these three tests go into our mouth.
Well, the neem twig is very bitter.
For example, in today's case, even if a person uses toothbrush, that is admissible. What is important is maybe neem powder or turmeric powder or triphala powder can be used to clean the mouth. That is first tip. Second tip is Ayurveda strongly recommends that maintain the health of the gums. The health of the teeth will follow.
Beautiful. Maintain the health of the gums and the health of the teeth will follow. It's like maintain the health of the roots of the tree and the flowers and fruits will automatically come.
Exactly. It reminds me about an advertising war in India in the last decade, that because of the increasing market of Ayurvedic toothpastes or tooth powders, one of the MNCs,
multinational corporations, one of the big companies.
Yes. So it started campaigning that if you rub something rough powder on your teeth, it is not good for the enamel of the teeth. It's a truth. But Ayurveda has said, clean your gums with these tests and not rub your teeth with this rough powder.
So you're saying that Ayurveda would recommend taking triphala powder and rubbing it on the gums. That would help maintain the health of the gums. Then subsequently, the teeth will just naturally grow strong.
Yes.
Does Ayurveda want you to like brush your teeth? I mean, you want to like remove the food particles and the plaque, and when you chew on the neem twig, kind of gets frayed at the end, and you use the frayed twig to kind of brush around? Or can you explain that a little bit more?
Over the centuries, there has been a socio-cultural corruption in the use of Ayurvedic tooth products. So basically what was meant was, one should make gargles, for example, to clear out the whatever secretions are there. Then one should use either of these three tests, apply them mainly to the gums, and during the gargling process, it will also cover up the teeth. But one shouldn't directly rub it on the enamel of the teeth.
What are you gargling with?
Again, decoction of either of these medicines, or to end, maybe plain water or lukewarm water according to season.
And you spit it out?
Yes, you spit it out, of course.
What do you do for the actual teeth?
We don't need to use any special product for actual teeth, because they used to use finger for just cleaning the teeth. I know it will be very difficult to digest because people are talking about flossing and plaque and whatnot.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what about flossing?
But because anyway, as I have already said, Ayurveda is not reductionist medicine. So we have to go a step behind. If one sticks to the digestive capacities, number one, if one eats in time, if one cleans the oral cavity after every food intake, modern sciences and the modern world, everybody knows that one has to brush twice, once in the morning, once in the night.
And keep eating all day.
Yes. I appreciate that. But the actual quotation in Ayurveda says, I'll say it in Sanskrit, but I'll translate it immediately. Prataha bhuktva cha. Prataha means early in the morning. And bhuktva cha means after every intake of food, even a sip of tea or coffee or a small piece of chocolate, doesn't matter. After every intake of food, you have to clean the teeth, means gums, by the same procedure.
Wow, beautiful.
If this is followed, I don't think that there will be chance to deposit plaque or accumulate plaque. And if it is not accumulated at all, or not accumulated in considerable amounts, then I don't think harsh procedures like cleaning or using instruments are necessary.
Wow, you know, it's interesting. I remember my grandmother used to rinse her mouth after every meal. See, a lot of people in India do that, but nobody does that here. But you know, here's the thing about that, is that you've just had a great piece of chocolate cake and you're enjoying the chocolate cake, and then you put something bitter in your mouth. Nobody wants to do that.
People like eating dark chocolates, right? Because they like chocolates.
I mean, dark chocolate is bitter.
Yeah, I think so. But when they consider that something I'm putting in mouth is bitter and it's a medicine, they dislike it. If something is there which assures us that it will help us to live a long, healthy life, maintaining teeth till, say, 70th year of age, etc., people will do it. Secondly, I repeat, bitter is not the only test that is recommended. If astringent test is applied and enough gargling with even plain water is done, it will turn into sweetish feeling. But it needs to be felt first. It needs to be experienced. It's just the onset of the process. After we gargle, the taste changes.
My parents, they don't have cavities and they have all their teeth.
And if you agree, they used to cut the walnut without using any instrument.
Yeah, they have very strong teeth too. They can just bite into anything and their teeth are completely unharmed. And they didn't grow up with toothbrushes or toothpaste.
So you said it, and now we need to have pediatric dentists in metro cities. We presume that even the school-going kids will have dental problems. My question is why? Revolution always should be gradually coming. If people at all really like to go for oral health, they may continue with the use of toothbrush, but they must stop the use of any sweet product. That is for sure.
Any sweet oral product?
Yes, for maintaining oral health.
You get to have something sweet now and again to eat.
As a part of food, anyway, Ayurveda only recommends to eat sweet. And the interesting part again is Ayurveda says that eat sweet to begin the food and not to end the food. So having dessert at the end of the meal is another thing which is creating problems to the oral health.
Okay. I know that Ayurveda recommends that you eat fruit 20 minutes before you eat. I didn't think that was related so much to the sweet taste.
Anything which is sweet or sour or matured or fleshy will tend to increase what we call as kapha, but we can take it as stickiness, anxiousness of the body.
Anxiousness.
Sweet taken at the end of the meal or fruits taken at the end of the meal will tend to create more stickiness in the mouth cavity. If at all sweet is to be intaken, it must be to start the meal with.
Why do you want the stickiness before rather than after?
Because if it is after, then it will leave its effect.
Does it make you gain weight too?
Yes, of course. To be put in modern terms, obesity, diabetes, some tumors, not all, and any physical growth in the body. And of course, bronchopulmonary disorders up to pneumonia. All these can be traced back to this increased and invited stickiness.
I think I get it now. So if you eat the sweet at the end of the meal, then you have nothing to counterbalance it after you've eaten the sweet. And so that increases the kapha, the earth, sticky, moist, heavy quality of your body. And that is translating into diabetes and obesity and the whole metabolic syndrome. Very interesting. What about this tongue scraping? I know that in India you see tongue scrapers and you hear people gagging in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and all this stuff.
It's good that you raised this question, Jayasri. Again, there are two reasons. First is that tongue is considered as the mirror of the stomach.
Well, in allopathy, we don't talk about the tongue as a mirror of the stomach. We don't talk about the tongue at all, actually, unless there's something wrong with the tongue.
If not, then I would strongly recommend that we must look into the tongue. Tongue cleaning is, I would say, not a must, but it is recommended.
Just as a diagnostic sign or because it actually then has some other impact?
Yeah, it has both diagnostic value and preventive value, I will say. If even after cleaning with something, if the tongue remains coated, then it's a clear proof that the digestion is not good. That is number one, the diagnostic importance. As far as the preventive aspect is concerned, tongue is the location of two organs in the body. One is the organ of taste. And when Ayurveda says organ, it doesn't restrict it to taste buds. So tongue is the material location of the taste perception. And secondly, tongue is the material location of the organ of speech. As far as the oral health is concerned, if the tongue is cleaned, tastes will be better perceived, and better perception of taste ensures better digestion.
It's like you clean your eyeglasses so you can see better.
Exactly. The question is whether people want to seek a clearer picture.
A clearer perception of the food that you eat. Very nice. Very, very beautiful. Does it have any treatment value? So say if you do have a buildup of ama in your digestive tract, does cleaning the tongue actually help to clean out the digestive tract?
No. It's a good question, I would say, because people like to have shortcuts. Nobody should take it as if that if they just clean the tongue, that means the ama is gone. It won't help. The best way to get rid of the digestive toxins, that is ama, is to reduce or regulate the food intake.
Okay, so I grew up brushing my teeth with a plastic toothbrush and with sweet toothpaste. And I've also become a flosser. My gums and my teeth are pretty healthy. But I always have an issue with the plastic part of it. And if you think about 9 billion people on the planet using a plastic toothbrush and changing it at least every 2 or 3 months, I just imagine this mountain of plastic toothbrushes, and they don't even go into the recycle bin. Then added on top of that is the plastic strings that we use to floss the teeth. Where do those plastic strings go? And what is the Ayurvedic perspective on how to actually clean the surfaces of the teeth?
As far as environment is concerned or ecology is concerned, no doubt that Ayurveda is an environmental friendly science. Whether one should use a plastic brush or not, I think I have answered it partly, that what is important is use some substance having either of these three tests. There is a clear quotation in Sushruta, if you have heard. Sushruta is considered as the father of surgery. Sushruta says that finger is the best machine.
So brush your teeth with the finger?
Yes.
How do you floss?
No, because flossing is a need which mankind has inherited in last couple of centuries, I would say. So what Ayurveda expects is use astringency. Astringency is not necessarily a single test. It's an action. So if astringency is used, there will be better cementing and the teeth will be more uniformly placed. Less gaps and no plaque.
You're saying that you have to use the astringent taste in childhood in order to grow your teeth with less gaps.
Yes.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Only in case of diseases, there is a strange route of application of medicine, which is called as nasya in Sanskrit. Nasya is a nasal administration of medicine. Ayurveda says that even if the medicine is inserted or administered through nose, it will help to have stronger teeth.
Interesting. First of all, what is this medicine that you put in through the nose?
Medicines keep on differing. For example, sesame oil can be put. Ghee can be put. But in winter seasons, one has to be careful because ghee can go in and clog. But ghee, sesame oil are the two most frequently used options. Even milk can be used, but only in some patients who are more pitta type or more heat dominated.
In what cases would you use these treatments?
For example, if a person has some sensory perception related problem clubbed with teeth problem, we will use this mode of treatment, that is nasya. If it's only tooth problem or related to oral cavity, then there is no need to do nasya. Then using either of these tests clubbed with regular gargling and regulation of food intake will suffice for.
How does Ayurveda deal with cavities?
First of all, if Ayurvedic daily regime is followed, chances of cavities are, you can say, reduced by 90%.
Okay, but nobody's doing that. You know that.
That's why Ayurvedic doctors have much scope now. Ayurveda has many strong medicines which it calls tikshna. They have penetrating action. They can be used to tackle with the cavities. The simplest one I would like to suggest, which is available here in America but not a native of here, is actually a gum of a tree called asafoetida, hing.
I know hing.
Hing is so penetrating and so strong that if the cavity is formed or a decaying teeth is found, if the hing, which comes in crystal forms, as you know, even if a small crystal is put here, it will stop further decaying of the teeth And again, turmeric powder can be used to prevent decaying of teeth.
To prevent it. Now, turmeric is used to prevent it, but you're saying that asafoetida or hing can actually stop the progression of a cavity. In terms of filling up a cavity, you have to go to the allopathic dentist.
Because Ayurveda believes that teeth are the derivatives of bones and it takes long to heal them. Once the cavities are formed, Ayurveda doesn't recommend some physical machinized work with them to fill in the cavities. In fact, that's the reason why Ayurveda has recommended to prevent cavities or gaps, because once it is done, it is there.
Ayurveda in general is a very preventive modality. I mean, the emphasis is on prevention. So great, this is very interesting. I really appreciate talking to you. So I'm throwing out my toothpaste and I'm going to go get some Trifala powder. Ooh.
Thank you. Just a last suggestion. Ayurveda also says that excess use of sour things, and particularly using sour things at night, is inviting dental problems. So anything which is sour, so tomato, lemon, lemonade, vinegar, even if the gargling is done and even if the teeth are cleaned with astringent thing, that doesn't guarantee dental health, because sour thing is to be avoided at night time.
Very interesting.
Whatever Ayurveda has said is time tested. It of course has a logical or philosophical background.
Really fascinating conversation. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for participating in Naging Now.
Thank you, Jayasri.
That was Vaidya Mandar Bedekar from Pune, India. Din tarikita di na tu na ka ta tarikita di na din din na dhana dhana takita dhetete dhatrika dhetete kata gadi gena gira nagatene tara tara dhatrika dhetete kata gadi gena kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta dhana dhana takita dhetete dhatrika dhetete kata gadi gena gira nagatene tara tara dhatrika dhetete kata gadi gena kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta ta kiritika dhetta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta dhana dhana takita detete dhatrika detete katagadigena giranagadene tara tara dhatrika detete katagadigena kidagadetta ta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta ta kidagadetta